You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com. Today's talk comes from Brad Jones.
I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a phenomenal documentary going around right now. It's called Free Solo. Has anybody seen the movie, the documentary? 20 of y'all, that's awesome. It won, there's Daniel, he's a rock climber, he loves this documentary. It won the best documentary at the Oscars, the Academy Awards. It's mind-blowing. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about it. I'm not gonna give it away because you probably already know what happened. There's a guy named Alex, and he might be insane for what he tried to accomplish, what he did accomplish, but he actually, without ropes, without harnesses, without equipment, he went to the top of Kennesaw Mountain. No, I'm kidding. He went to the top of El Capitan in Yosemite National Park, over 3,000 feet. He climbed without aid. And one of the best climbers in the world commented that it would be like winning a gold medal. And if you didn't win, you died. That was the risk. That was the effort. That was the accomplishment of free soloing this climb up to the top of Yosemite. And as we've been in this series and we've been under this amazing content, I've just been thinking, one, because I watched that documentary and I felt more educated in life and more inspired. But I also wondered if when it comes to knowing God, when it comes to walking with God, having a relationship with God, if sometimes we just think the task seems impossible, that we stand at the bottom of the mountain and we look up and go, yeah, there is absolutely no way this guy's gonna get up there, so I'm just gonna settle for watching the documentary and watching someone else make the climb, someone else risk their life, someone else put in the effort because my view's okay right here, I'm just gonna settle. Or maybe you're like, yeah, more than one person in the history of the world's gonna make the climb, but it's just not gonna be me because I don't have what it takes. Or I didn't come from the right family, or I wasn't born into the right part of the country, or I've just made too many mistakes. I'm never gonna get all the way to the top, so I'm just gonna settle for where I'm at. But that's not God's heart for you. It's not God's heart for me. He wants you and me to ascend to the heights. And that's what our pastor's been leading us in. And so in the kind of halfway point, you know, we're gonna probably come around this series a little bit more next week. I just want us to take a break. And I want us to consider, is it possible for you and me to make it to the heights and to ascend to this relationship with God, this intimacy with God, this familiarity with God, where it's not just hearing somebody else's stories, but it's having those stories for ourselves. If you got your scripture, I want you to open to Luke chapter 19. And I want to read and share a story about an encounter Jesus has with a guy that ends up making a climb. And gets really encouraged and rewarded by it. Here it is, let's go. You probably know this story, but it says in Luke 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Anybody heard of Zacchaeus before? What do you know about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. That sounds so strange to hear a bunch of people yelling that at one time, but if you didn't grow up in church, I will explain that in a minute, okay? Things just got weird in here. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. It does not say what you just said in scripture. It says he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. This is two strikes against him. He was a chief tax collector and he was really rich. And all of a sudden, all the people that weren't really rich hated him. Didn't like him, but it says he had two strikes against him, a double whammy. It'd be like him being a Bama fan and a Patriots fan. It's like, get this guy out of here. Don't like him. Don't want anything to do with him. Why is he in the Gospels? But he was a chief tax collector, so not only was he hated because he was a Jewish guy, but he was working for the Roman government. He was, through extortion, taking advantage of people. And he was charging them undue tax. He was charging them over what they should have paid, and he was just getting rich at their benefit. Not only that, but he was leading a bunch of other tax collectors, and so this guy was really, really hated. And then he was rich, and come on, if you're not rich, then you're jealous, you're mad, you're envious of that guy. Said he's got two strikes against him. Said he wanted to see who Jesus was, But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. And that's why everybody just said he was a wee little man. If I'm Zacchaeus at this end of this story, I'm like, come on, Luke. You know, why did you have to include my height in here? You know, was it really essential? They're probably like sorting this out in heaven. You know, like, come on, could you have not said, you know, I was really athletic because I was about to climb a tree? Could you not said I was funny, good looking, I was really clever and figured something out? You're like, you had to put it in the written eternal word of God that I was short. And that's speaking from a short person. You know, when I stand next to Aaron Coe over here, I feel like really insecure. But he said he couldn't see because of the crowd. But I want you to just dial back to the very first few words of verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was. In the ESV, it says he was seeking to see who Jesus was. And that's where we're going to settle in this morning. And I love that phrase. He was seeking for a glimpse. He had heard the stories. The rumors were true. All the people, the world was being flipped upside down by this man named Jesus, the healings, the miracles, the teaching, the authority. He had heard, but it was time for him to see for himself. He wanted to seek to get a glimpse, to see Jesus for himself. And I love that because that's where you and I, we need to live, right? I love this room. Think about this room. In this room right now, we have people that have been following Jesus like basically their whole life. You were that person that your mom drug into, you know, church on week one. She didn't care if you were going to get sick. If you hadn't been, you gotten all your immunizations, she was like putting you there because your family was in church every single Sunday. Any of those people in the house, you know, a few of you, you're a little ashamed of it. You know, we got some of you been following Jesus your whole life. Some of you, it's a newer season. Some of you are barely here and you're like, I got conned. You know, the traffic for the marathon was really, really bad. And I just, you know, was trying to work around East Atlanta and I showed up in the room. Some of you don't want to be here. Some of you are skeptical about everything. You're like, why? Is everybody raising their hands? What is wrong with these people? But we all, right? I think we're all here for a reason because we know in our heart there's something more. And we're all intrigued, whether we know Jesus or we don't, but we see in part is what the scripture says. One day we're gonna see in full, but we will all see in part. And we wanna pray that prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Open the eyes of our heart so we can see you better, Jesus. We all wanna seek a better glimpse of who Jesus is. And I love that about Zacchaeus. He wanted to see for himself. So I don't care if you've been following Jesus your whole life, you know the scriptures backward and forward, or you know nothing. We all need to have this heart of God. Give me more. Help me see more. And it says, verse 4, so he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree, a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming this way. I love that. He, all the crowds were pressing in on Jesus. They're trying to get close and he was a wee little man. He couldn't see anything. And so what did he have to do? He had to run ahead. He had to get clever. He had to have a spirit of ingenuity and he had to jump up a tree and his family was all like, man, what is up with Zach right now? Or all the other people were like, the rich guys don't act like that. People cater to them. People come to them. They get what they want. Why is he like going to all this extra mile? And people are like, has he lost his mind? And I'm thinking like we've all been there. The picture I've got in my mind is, you know, in a few weeks, if you watch a little golf tournament called the Masters, right, you will see grown men losing their mind, some women, but mostly men losing their mind trying to get 2 feet away from a guy that's about to hit a white ball. And they're gonna like all like push each other away, crowd everybody out. I've been there, I've done it, you know? And I'm like acting like this is the most amazing moment of my life. Tiger Woods is right there. I'm in the camera shot. Hi, mom, do you see me right here? And you'll see all of that. People losing their mind. That's the picture I've got. Or in a few weeks at Easter at Passion City Church, you're gonna be like, kids in the car, 7 a.m. We're gonna get the front row, we'll be there. That's the picture of what's happening right now. And Zacchaeus is like, yeah, forget the crowds. Forget trying to, you know, move my way to the front. I'm just gonna get a little bit far ahead and climb a tree. I love that. You know what I love is that is part of the gospel story, right? Is God, point number one, if you wanna take notes, God applauds and he rewards our efforts to know him. God applauds and he rewards our efforts to know him. Because Zacchaeus is saying he went a little bit out of the way. He went out of the norm, stepped out of his comfort zone, put in a little work, made a little sacrifice, stood out from the crowd. Didn't just go with the flow, but he knew he had to take, you know, desperate times required desperate measures, and he wanted to see the stakes were so high, so he was willing to run, he was willing to sprint, he was willing to get uncomfortable, he was willing to climb a tree just to get a glimpse. And that's what Jesus was saying when he was on the earth, right? Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. You wanna see Jesus? You wanna receive from Jesus? Then there is a part, yes, that requires you asking, you seeking, you knocking. Our ability to know God, yes, starts and is dependent on his revelation in our lives. But our effort, your effort, it has to be a part of the equation, right? If we're gonna really know this God. Jeremiah 29, 13, seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. Or James 4, verse 6, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so I just want to ask you this morning, Passion City Church, I want to ask myself, am I putting in the effort? Am I putting in the work? Am I seeking for myself to know this God? The verse that really God's been putting on my heart so much is Psalm 27. This is for me, and I just want to be the first to admit, pastors aren't excluded from this. We don't have it all figured out. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. But verse 4, Psalm 27. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing I ask, this is what I seek, to gaze upon the beauty. And as I was just preparing for this message this week, I was like so convicted. I was just like running through the things in life that I want right now, that I think about, that I put effort towards, that I'm motivated by. And don't leave our church because one of the pastors is saying this, but I was just looking, I was coming up underneath this verse and like, is that my heart? Is that my desire? One thing I ask, this is what I seek. I want to see the beauty of God. I want to gaze upon his beauty. I want a greater glimpse of who he is. It's like, no, I really want to go on a great vacation. Or I want to have a good time with some friends. Or there's something new, a new possession I want. Like, God, help me care more deeply and willing to be like Zacchaeus and go out of the way and go against the grain and be uncomfortable to get a glimpse of who you are. Hebrews 11, 6, it says, if anyone would come after God, he must, check this out, he must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If anyone would come after God, he must believe he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Our effort has to be a part of the equation. I was talking to one of my friends a couple weeks ago and he's like, man, this is awesome. You know, sometimes I talk to people and I'm at the base, they're at the base of the mountain. It just seems so steep. Just kind of like Alex climbing up El Capitan and you're like, they want to know, just give me the checklist. Like, how long does my quiet time need to be? Like, how many minutes do I need to pray? Like, I just want, you know, just lay it all out for me. And yes, I would say disciplines are important, but it starts with the heart. Is there an intense and personal desire in your heart and in my heart to have this outcome of knowing God? If we want to know him, we got to remember he's going to applaud and reward if we earnestly seek after him. That's what Zacchaeus was doing. He was running. He was climbing. He was willing to run, willing to climb to just get a glimpse. Sadly, I got this picture in my mind. Just a few days ago, we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we were at like an indoor playground, play gym for all the kids, which is chaos. Can I get an amen from all the parents? I mean, it's just like you want to leave and, you know, take a 45-minute shower for, you know, all your kids, get all the germs off, you know. It's just like, sorry, I'm venting for a moment. But it was really cool in this one moment for the 10 minutes that were, you know, that were really awesome. But Caleb, our four-year-old, was playing air hockey for the very first time. You know, and I'm just sitting over there just like kind of watching, and another like 3-year-old and then a 5-year-old jump up and they're playing against Caleb. And I realized in that moment, I'm going to be that dad. It's like the first like sporting event, you know, it's air hockey, but it's the first time my son's gone against another kid, right? And I'm on the sidelines watching. It's not soccer, it's not basketball, it's not organized. It's air hockey at an indoor little playground, but I'm all in at this moment. I'm like, oh, my son, you better take that kid down, right? Block it, do not let him score. And I'm like, just like, you know, he scores one time, I get out of my seat, yeah, Caleb, you know, it's like, anybody that dad in here, you know, you're like, kids are looking at you in the sideline, you're like, keep it down, right? But I just was like, that's my boy. He just beat that kid 8-2. I know I wasn't supposed to be keeping score, but it was 8-2, son. I'm so proud of you. But that's, you know, when we're talking about knowing God, I just want you to know it's possible. You're able, right? You have a Father in heaven who is. As you put in the work, as you desire to know him, as you seek after him, as you spend time with him, as you put the right people around you, as you show up at church, and if it's your heart, God, I want to know you more. You have a Father in heaven that's like, that's my boy. That's my girl. I'm so proud. Keep going. It's worth it. You can do it. You can make the climb. You're going to get there. But I think so many times we get intimidated that we don't have it all figured out, that we should be further along, that everybody else knows something that we don't know, that we just need to hang at the back because we don't get it and we just feel like we're a little bit outside looking in. You've got a Father in heaven. Don't be discouraged. Don't be intimidated. Don't be discouraged. Don't be intimidated. Maybe you're like, I've made too many mistakes. I don't belong in a relationship with God. He wouldn't want to know me. He wouldn't want to spend time with me. No, he is applauding you. He is rewarding you. If you want to come after God, you must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So don't be intimidated by what you don't know, but be motivated by your heavenly Father who's cheering you on in heaven. You got a cheering section. You know what Zacchaeus did? I'll just keep reading the story. That was a cool little turnaround, by the way. That was awesome. I was really proud of myself for that one. Getting fired up, sorry. It says, when Jesus reached the spot after he climbed the tree, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly, or other translations say joyfully. And I'm reading that and I've got a couple questions, as should you. It says, Jesus said, see Zac, right? He's walking down the street. Zac's up in the street, the rich guy. And he's like, Zacchaeus, get down here. I'm coming to stay at your house. I mean, I'm asking a couple of questions. I don't know if you are, but it's like, did Jesus just invite himself over? I mean, if you're the Son of God, you know, if you created him, then surely you have the right to stay at his house. And I other thing I'm asking is, did Zacchaeus ask his wife first before he said yes? Because trust me, you know, man, we all know, you better call. Just, hey, Jesus, yeah, I would love for you to come. I just do need a phone home really quickly. And can I just ask, how long are you planning on staying? Because I know my wife's going to ask that as well. And it's like, no, he just says he came down and he welcomed him gladly. You see that? He welcomed him gladly. Other translation says joyfully. And I just think, so many times we get stuck in a spirit of obligation. We have to do this. We should do that. Or we better do this. It's like, no, if there's a joyful, glad, expectant spirit, I think Jesus is quick to rush in and to move in our lives when we have that versus a spirit of obligation. It says, all the people saw him and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Here goes Jesus again. Didn't come to my house. I was ready. I prepared. I've been waiting. I've been looking forward to this day. I got everything ready. Food's on the table. House is clean. And he's going to Zacchaeus' house. Everybody's like, what is up with Jesus? We'll come back to that in a minute. But it says, but Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So let's just rewind. Just make sure we're all okay. Zacchaeus runs, climbs a tree. Jesus sees him. Hey, bro, come down. Come into your house. Invites himself over. Then the next thing we read, other than the people grumbling and muttering, is Zacchaeus making this big statement. This big, like, my life is forever changed. And I think if you're reading it and thinking about it a little bit, you're like, some of you are like, yep, that's why I don't like church. And within 2 minutes, they're talking about giving all your money away. Taking all your money. That's what Jesus does. But some of you are like, man, it sounds like we have to make big, like we have to get all of our life in order before Jesus would come to our house. Because it just seems like so quick, right? Jesus says, come down. Zacchaeus is like, I'm going to give away half of my money and I'm going to give back to anybody I stole from four times. But what we're missing there is some context of time spent together. If you just think about it, he was coming over to his house. It doesn't say immediately. It says that Jesus went to his house and eventually Zacchaeus stood up and he made a statement of repentance is what this is. And this is true with scripture because scripture says God's kindness leads to our repentance. And there was time spent. There was conversation had. There was opportunity for Zacchaeus to listen to Jesus and for Jesus to share with Zacchaeus and share each other, share their heart. And at some point, it's what always happens when God opens our eyes to who he is and how much he loves us and what he's done for us. It's revelation that leads to transformation. Seeing that? That's what happened. Revelation led to transformation. Because the gospel is not wait till you're perfect and then show up. That is not the gospel. The gospel is come as you are. So he didn't have to clean his act up to get Jesus to come to his house. Jesus was coming to his house. And when Jesus showed up at his house, then he was like, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to do things differently. And he gets up in front of, after some time spent together, and says, I'm going to not just follow the the law and be generous with some of my money. I'm going to be generous with half of my money. I know I've been putting my hope in money and riches. I'm ready to share and to live for a different kingdom. I know I've stolen and I'm not just going to give back a little bit. I'm going to give back four times the amount. It was proof that Zacchaeus had been changed. And that's God's heart. That's God's goal. And it's for our good. He didn't send Jesus into the world to just beat us into submission. He sent him to change us from the inside out. Because once we see, once our eyes are opened, then we can't help but want to change. It's what scripture says. Romans 12:1. We talked about mercy, the wrath and mercy of God last week. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, because we've seen his mercy, Paul's encouraging us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he says, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says, we beholding his glory are being transformed from one degree of glory to the other. So we're in a transformation process, people. You're in a process. If you've trusted Jesus, if you're following Jesus, you've entered into a change process. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But it means the more we see, the more we can't help but change, because revelation always leads to transformation. And that's what's happening with Zacchaeus right here. So he made that declaration in verse 9. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The gospel. And this story is about outsiders becoming insiders. This story, again, people are like, Zach's house? Jesus and his disciples have gone to Zach's house, it's like we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus is always moving towards the outsiders. And you know what? That's good news for us because we're all outsiders without Jesus. We were all far away, a long ways away, done our own thing, gone. It doesn't matter where you were born, what family you were raised in. We were all, you know, dead in our transgressions and sins, that we were all, you know, guilty. We were all rebellious. We'd all fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all Zacchaeus in this story, right? But I think here's what's the danger for me, right? I don't think I'm Zacchaeus a lot of the times. I grew up in a good town in Texas. I was in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was on mission trips. I was speaking on the mission trips. I was a leader in the school, leader in the youth group, right? Clubs, organizations, well-respected for my faith. And in my mind, I'm not Zacchaeus. What I do is I come to God with my resume. Or actually, let's make it a little bit more applicable, with my college application. We've been hearing about that a lot lately, right? But mine was like stuff I'd really done. And it's like, God, surely you're gonna stay at my house. Surely you're gonna hang with me. Surely you're gonna bless me. Surely I'm your guy. You've seen, right? I mean, it's double-sided, the stuff I've done for you. It's like, it's not about your resume, because your resume is filthy rags. It's all about Jesus falling short of his glory. Some of you are like, well, I'm glad it's not about resumes because I don't have anything good on mine. It's not about your application. It's about that Jesus showed up looking for you, running after you, because we're all outsiders. Did you notice, though, what the people did when he went to Zacchaeus' house? They grumbled. They muttered. Like, man, if we forget we're the Zacchaeus in the story, then we get a grumbling spirit. They don't deserve that. You know what they've done? Why are they getting celebrated? Why are they getting the attention? Why are they getting elevated? They should never be in this church. They should never be in leadership. And it's like, we're like, I deserve, I have earned. And that leads to a grumbling spirit, right? And I'm just saying, God, protect us, all of us as a church, from that spirit. A few months ago, speaking of free solo, actually, not to brag, but I accomplished something, a pretty impressive athletic feat. I ran a 5K. On Thanksgiving, thank you. I mean, come on, that's like an all clap. Everybody needs to be clapping. I mean, I did it. I got the like turkey trot medal. I should have brought it for everybody. That would have been awesome, right? I could just wear it around the gathering. But you know, I mean, come on, it's like a little over 3 miles and I'd been training for several months and it was back in my hometown and got one laugh out of that from like a hardcore runner over there. But let's be honest, I had a few, my main motivation was try to beat my wife, you know, because she made me run it. But it was neck and neck for a while. But actually what happened was when the starting gun went off, I forgot that it was a turkey trot. I forgot it was only 5K. I thought I was running in the Olympics and I was like, oh, we got this. And I was just, I mean, I was, you know, running past people I grew up in high school with. And I was like, I still got it, you know? And then about a half a mile in, I was like, oh, not what I used to be by any means. Should have run a little bit more. And so I'll admit there might've been some walking, but don't tell anybody that. And then I get towards the end, about a half a mile out, you know, another lap or so. And I got so frustrated, so frustrated, so annoyed. What happened is there were people, some of them well older than me, that were now running towards me, right? They had finished the race and decided to run it in the opposite direction And we're like, good job, keep going, you're almost there, you can make it. And I was like, you're telling me they finished and they decided to run backwards to help me finish? I do not need your help. I am covering my ears and I am running this thing. You're showing off, and well, pride comes before the fall, people. And good job, you got this, you're almost there. I'm like, they're making eye contact with the people that were struggling the most. I was like, why are people staring at me, right? And then I left and I was like, so convicted, so inspired. I'm like, that is the gospel. That is the church. Is we're all on a journey. And yes, some of us are further ahead. And some of us have figured a few more things out. But what we need to do is we need to be willing to run the opposite direction and look for some people that might need that motivation, that encouragement, that I see you, you got this, you can make this, keep going, it's worth it, you're almost there, you're not that far off. And so I just ask us, church, who are those people in our lives? We do need to become fit, right? We need to shapen up. We need to get some stuff together. We need to stay in shape because God wants to use us. God wants to use you, not just the few of us up here on stage speaking. He wants to use us to help people make it to the finish line, right? So yes, let's get in shape. Yes, let's pray against a grumbling spirit that get frustrated that Jesus moves towards the outcast and the outsiders, because we were all there. And let's just keep our eyes open, knowing how can we encourage? How can we help? How can we coach? How can we push people on towards more for their life? And then the last thing, just to repeat the point, so you, if you were taking notes, one, God applauds and rewards our efforts to know him. Number two, it's revelation that leads to transformation. Three, the gospel story is about outsiders becoming insiders. Number four, before you were looking for God, before you were looking for Jesus, he was looking for you. Before Zacchaeus ever ran ahead, and before Zacchaeus ever climbed that tree, Jesus was already on his way to Jericho. He had stepped out of heaven. He had stepped onto earth. And I wonder, because with God, if he's sovereign and if he's in control and nothing is a coincidence possibly, if he wasn't going to Jericho for that, at that very hour, on that very day, for that very reason, because he just knew the circumstances would be Zacchaeus was nearby and Zacchaeus would have had something in his heart going off, going, man, I actually need to see for myself. And he just said, hey, today's the day, we're going to Jericho. And the whole thing was a setup for this very moment. Because yes, we get to put our effort in the equation, but well before that, Jesus had already initiated it all. And he wasn't surprised. I mean, imagine the look. I wish I was there to see Zacchaeus. When he climbs up that tree, next thing you know, Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus. You're like, whoa, how does this guy know my name? Let alone is this religious leader talking to me. Oh, now things are getting real weird. He wants to come to my house. Oh no, we're having dinner at my house. People thought it was weird. Zacchaeus thought it was weird. He never imagined when he climbed up that tree that he'd be having dinner with Jesus. But Jesus knew his name. He saw him. He spoke to him. He initiated a relationship with him. And then something happened in that time together where he gave him salvation so much that Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house, to this man. I'm like, it blows me away. And I just want to remind you today that God sees you, not just in your seat, but he sees you in life. God knows you, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, all the stuff. What's on the application, what you're hoping nobody will ever find out about. And he's moving towards you. He moved towards you. He initiated that relationship with you. He invited you closer. He wants to step into your world. He does not want you, and he does not want me to settle for standing and watching at a distance, just as it all passes you by. He's like, no, I'm coming, bro. I'm coming, girl. I want to come to your house. I want to have dinner. I want to tell you everything you've ever done. I want to talk to you about the longings of your heart. I want you to see the things that are not working out, not going well. I want to tell you where you're on the right track. Ultimately, I want to tell you I gave my life for you because you can never make it to me on your own. Yeah, don't do that stuff. It's not what you want. Don't live that way. It's not going to fill you up. But no, if you follow me, right, then you will experience the light of life. You'll have the fullness of life. Jesus sees you. He knows you. And he's moving towards you. He's always been moving towards you. There's no meeting in heaven happening right now where Jesus is like, can I get everybody's attention? Angels, please wake up. So-and-so made it to the 11:45 gathering and I can't believe it. This is unbelievable. Yes, your family might be surprised. You might be surprised. You might not have ever wanted to be here, but Jesus isn't surprised. He's been wooing you. He's been pursuing you. He's been chasing after you. Because he wants to walk with you. That is the gospel. That is our hope. That is our purpose. There's hope. You struggling today? You feel unseen today? You feel like you don't belong today? You feel like things won't be ever changed today? Zacchaeus never thought Jesus would be at his house. I believe that God can blow your mind by what he wants to do in you and what he wants to do through you, because he's been chasing after you. Don't settle. Please don't settle. I can't settle for watching at a distance or just getting at a glimpse. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to dine with Jesus. I want to hang with Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus to be my life. I'm going to tell you a story before we close. I was going to fold up my notes, but I'll just fold both of them, actually. A couple months ago, we had Passion 2019, and I've been on a journey. This journey is still in process. So probably actually not gonna put it online, but I've been walking with a friend who's been coming to church here for a while. He's since moved back home, but first time I met him, he said to me, we met at Welcome to Church. He said, hey, I just want you to know, I don't get all of this, but God is doing something. Or no, he didn't even say God. He said, I feel something. And I was like, bro, that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard. Because you didn't even know how to articulate all of this. He's just like, I'm here because something's happening inside in my heart. And I don't know what to say about it, but thank you. I was like, come on. So we started walking together, journeying together. And then he moved and he said, hey, I was wanting him to come back up to Passion. He's like, come on. So he'd been coming to church consistently. When he was in town, he was willing to fly up to come to Passion and be one of the older people in the room. He wasn't a door holder, but he just wanted to come and sit and receive. So he's putting in some effort. He was taking some steps. He was there. He had an open, expectant spirit. God, do you want to do anything? And there's a bunch of small details that went into this, but at the last minute, I found him a hotel room and we were all hanging out the night before the last session. And I was exhausted and had to lead the next morning. I was like, guys, I'm going to bed. And him and one of my other buddies, a pastor from another town, started talking. Next thing you know, the next morning, I found out the very end of the session that they had stayed up and talked till 2 or 3 in the morning, just about faith in life, mainly around issues and questions. And this guy was just pouring it out. Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? I don't know. I don't know. He kept sharing that. And my buddy just kept saying, hey, man, God's not afraid of your questions. It's a journey. It's a process. It'll take some time. God's not afraid of your questions. So the next morning, we go to the session. My buddy is sitting right here, right there. And Louis is actually doing the talk because he's been to different arenas. He's here at this arena on the last day. And they're like, right there. I didn't know where they were going to put Louis. And every session was different. He was standing right in front of him. He gives a whole talk about doubts. Doubting Thomas, right, in the scripture that was one of the last disciples to believe that Jesus was really alive. And he just kept saying, God's not afraid of your questions. God's not afraid of your doubts. And I heard the story secondhand, but apparently my buddy and the pastor that had hung out with him the night before, apparently the session ends and they just cannot move because they're like, what happened? Where did that come from? Did you tell him? Did you tell Brad to tell Louis to speak directly at me? It was just like, my buddy came up to me afterwards. He's like, I just need to tell you. That was for me. I don't know what else to say, but that, I think the whole thing, and I know God was moving a lot of people's life, but he's like, that whole thing might've been for me. We're still walking together and it's still a process, but come on, everyone in here is on a process. But God gave us these scriptures. And there was a moment for Zacchaeus. And I think there's gonna be moments for you where you just sense the pursuing love of God on your life. He's coming after you. He's reaching out for you. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your struggles. He's not waiting until you get it all together. He's coming straight after you.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.